Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
SM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning, dead center. Well, I guess not quite the dead center since there's 31 days in October, but it's the middle of October. And a reminder that tomorrow night, if you want to come out and hear me talk about ghosts, I will be at the New Bedford Public Library tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. So you can come and hear me talk about From Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers, how ghost hunting is just modern day spiritualism. So we're going to take a look back at who the Fox Sisters were and how they started the spiritualism movement when they heard some knocks in their cabin in Hydesville, New York, and how that gave birth to this worldwide movement of people trying to communicate with spirits. And how really what we do in the modern age when we're out there looking for ghosts and conducting paranormal investigations, we're really utilizing a lot of the same techniques that were used back then, just in a different way. And there's no difference between somebody sitting at a table and using a Ouija board as opposed to somebody who's maybe using a digital recorder and asking for a ghost to imprint its voice on a recording. So it's kind of all the same thing. Some people don't like to hear that. Some people have embraced that. So we'll talk about all of that. And of course, we'll have a Q&A session at the end where you can ask all your paranormal questions. And a good time will be had by all. I love speaking at the New Bedford Public Library. Hopefully, the gentleman who was there last year and tried to get confrontational in the Q&A session will be a little bit calmer this year. Because I heard a lot of feedback from the people in the crowd that didn't appreciate that. Come up and talk to me about that stuff after the fact. We don't have to do it in front of everybody. But it should be a fun time. And then, of course, I'll be in Worcester on Thursday telling ghost stories in the common. They do this big event where they do horror movies in the park. And before they start with that, I'm going to be presenting some ghost stories for about 45 minutes to an hour before that. So right around a little bit after 6 p.m., we're going to get started with that. And it should be pretty fun. I'm going to talk about the Redheaded Hitchhiker of Route 44. I'm going to talk about the Lizzie Borden House. Maybe the Houghton Mansion. Perhaps even my experiences at Fort Tabor. So that'll be in Worcester on Thursday. Then I'll be back next week, locally, on Wednesday, the 23rd at 6:30 at the Millicent Library. I'll be talking about ghosts of the South Coast. And then I'll be at the Freetown Police Community Room on Saturday, the 26th at 6:30 p.m. talking about haunted objects. So that's through the Freetown Library, but the community room at the police station is a bigger room, so they have it there. We packed it last time. I know we can pack it again. And if you are interested in getting involved in the ghost hunt we're doing Saturday in Sandwich, our spooky sandwich event at the Daniel Webster Inn, which includes a buffet dinner, ghost hunting at the inn, and as well as the old town hall and the town hall annex. Today is the last day to get tickets because they need a count for the food for the buffet dinner. So you can go to tinyurl.com/spookysandwich or go to the Sandwich Chamber of Commerce website and you can get the tickets there. But I am going to try to talk with the director and say, well, maybe we can put a ticket on sale that doesn't include the dinner so that if people waited to the last minute, they can still get in for the ghost hunt because people are still going to want to investigate. And once you do sign up, you get a code sent to you if you want it where you can book a room at the Daniel Webster Inn at a discount so you can actually stay overnight with me. Although I guess the restaurant still isn't open. It may be open in time. We're still waiting to hear for sure. So I don't know that we'll be able to have breakfast together the next morning at the Daniel Webster Inn, but we can always meet somewhere else. All right. 508-996-0500. Coming up later on in this hour, we are going to hear from our $30,000 winner in the Money Talks contest. Also, happy third anniversary to the release of Famously Haunted Amityville, which you can watch on the Tubi app. I just saw that pop up on my phone memories. Myself and New Bedford's own Stephanie Burke speaking about and actually investigating outside of the Amityville house and that whole case. So I got some questions asked about the 27 Club in the app chat. And so the 27 Club, the idea behind this is that these artists, actors, celebrities, mostly musicians, all died at the age of 27. And that somehow there's more of a statistical spike in folks dying at 27 than any other age. That doesn't really prove to be true overall, but there were a number of people who died at the age of 27, prominent musicians, that kind of gave birth to this idea, especially happening between 1969 and 1971 when you had Brian Jones of the Beach Boys, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison all dying at the age of 27 within a three-year period. So that is what became known as the 27 Club. The 27 Club is extended out to include Kurt Cobain, who was 27 years old when he took his life, Amy Winehouse, who was 27 years old when she died. Those are some of the more recent examples. Actually, there's a lot of recent examples too, but those are some of the names that people associate with this club. Now, most of these folks who have passed away, it was kind of through their own hand, whether it be drug and alcohol abuse, whether it be, in the case of Kurt Cobain, suicide. But some of them were mysterious. Some of them were murders. Some of them are like Amy Winehouse, who always knew that she would join the 27 Club. She talked to people in her life about that. So maybe that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But this traces all the way back, according to those who have researched it, to 1892 with Alexandra Levy, a composer, pianist, and conductor. But I think the first kind of big name that really started the 27 Club was Robert Johnson, the blues musician, the one who allegedly sold his soul to the devil in order to learn to play the guitar, because Robert Johnson was hanging around. He was trying to play guitar, trying to make it as a guitar player, wasn't very good. He went away, came back a short time later, and all of a sudden could play like nobody's business. And so the legend began that he went down to the crossroads, met old Scratch himself there, and made a deal with the devil to be able to play the guitar in exchange for a soul, and the devil collected early. And his cause of death is unknown. There's no official cause of death and no autopsy was done. But they believe it might have been syphilis. that actually did him in. But whether or not, you know, that is kind of the real birth of the 27 Club, I think it was more those in the 60s and 70s, those major stars that all died within very close proximity to each other. But there were others around that same time as well. Pigpen from the Grateful Dead in 73. Even Jim Morrison's longtime companion, Pamela Corson, she died at 27 of a drug overdose. Let's see, you know, just some of these other really recognizable names. There's a lot of people in here, too, that, you know, folks might not have heard of, but like Louis Spicoli, the ECW wrestler, died of a drug overdose at 27. Jonathan Brandis, the actor, he died of suicide at 27. And, of course, I mentioned Amy Winehouse. There's actually been a few people since then. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
How you doing, Tim?
Good. How are you?
Too good. I'm real upset. A car almost just hit me and my son crossing to go to his school.
Oh, no.
Right near the school, right next to Campbell with the yellow lights. This is the second time it happened. That's why I'm calling now. I don't know if they need to put a police officer or over here or something, but they come flying up this street all the way up to the yellow light. And this street, the speed limit's probably 30 miles an hour on it, and they're at least going at least 50 up this street in the morning instead of where Campbell School is.
Well, I would definitely call the police and see if they can't get somebody out there to kind of monitor it and just see what's going on.
They had there was actually a police officer here the other day because someone got into it with the crossing guard.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, so they had a police officer here for the last few days. They're not here today, but last week they were here all last week because someone got into it with the crossing guard. And now they're just speeding up and down the street going right by this light.
Well, I would definitely report it to them and see if they don't follow up now because maybe they'll make it a permanent thing.
Well, that's why I'm calling you, because every time an issue like this happens, calls you, the city hall seems to move pretty quick. When I call there, I get busy, and 7 calls, 20 calls, I call you, and stuff starts happening.
Well, let's hope it does. If not, I would recommend trying giving a call tomorrow when the mayor's in with Chris to talk to him directly.
Oh, yeah, he'll be on at 11, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give a call tomorrow at 11. Thank you, Tim.
All right, thank you. Have a good day. And let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
A few famous folks. I was wondering if they made that list dying at 27. How about Richie Valens?
So he was, I believe, 19 when he died?
Okay. How about Buddy Holly?
Might have been even younger. Buddy Holly was, trying to think of how, let me look that up. I know he was, let's see how old Buddy Holly was. When he died, he was 22.
Okay, how about Mama Cass?
Mama Cass was, I think she was older than the 27 Club.
Okay, and Sam Cooke, I think, was a bit older, too.
So Mama Cass was 32 when she died.
And Sam Cooke must have been a bit older than 27, and we died in 1965.
Yeah, Sam Cooke was 33 when he died.
Okay, and how about a singer, Billy Stewart, a soul singer who died around 1970?
Billy Stewart, when he died, was 32.
Okay, and finally, remember actor Peter Doole from Alias Smith & Jones?
By the way, Richie Valens was 17 when he died.
Wow, okay.
Peter Doole?
Yeah, he committed suicide. You remember that show, Alias Smith & Jones? Ran from 1971 to 73.
That's before my time, but he was 31 when he died.
Okay, yeah, and I think he died after he committed suicide. He hung himself on New Year's Eve after he finally achieved success. Sort of mysterious.
Well, I mean, success can do weird things to people.
Right, obviously he had something that was troubling him, fortunately. A good one, Tim.
You as well, take care.
Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim, what's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad. Hey, the power of radio, huh? A couple callers ago saying, you know, everything gets done as soon as they call WBSM, call Tim, and everything gets done. So we're going to draft you. You're going to run against Mayor Mitchell.
I don't think I want that job. I heard how poorly it pays, so.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the animal control officer. He makes more.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He makes more than the mayor?
Yep.
Okay, there's clearly something wrong with the way city government is handling their
well, he's been on that job a lot longer than the mayor has been on his job, so.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But I heard you were talking about Amityville on, what is it, Tubo or Tubi or whatever?
Tubi, yeah, the Tubi app. There's a documentary we did called Famously Haunted Amityville.
All right, and you are actually on, is it a free app or?
Yes, Tubi.
Is it like HBO Max or something?
Tubi is free. It is completely free. Everything on it is free. I do believe that it is ad-based, but you can sign in, and if you create an account, it'll save where you are. And I think it shows you less ads if you sign in, but I do believe it's ad-based. I don't remember. I haven't watched anything on Tubi in a while, but it is free. It's totally free.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's something I'll definitely check in on. Yeah, that's why I wanted to call. I heard you mention it quickly, but I was like, I've never even heard of that app.
There's a lot of stuff on there, a lot of old TV shows, a lot of like B-movies and things like that, but also, you know, just movies that none of the other streaming services are grabbing up. Tubi grabs them up and puts them on, so there's a lot of stuff that you can find on there.
Huh, cool. All right, man. I'll check it out.
All right.
I just want to check.
You're totally cutting out on us. What'd you say?
Stephanie Burke are doing it like an interview on that.
Yeah. So we were interviewed pretty prominently. I'm kind of all over it. She's in it just a little bit, but they used a lot of me, and then they bring in some social media people, the next generation of people looking at Amityville. And then they sent us to Amityville, cause that's where we filmed, but not at the house. We were down the street, but then they had us go, Stephanie and I went and we did an investigation outside the house. We couldn't get in the house, but we did one outside of the house. And I put that up on social media.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, cool. I'll definitely check it out, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man.
Have a good day.
Later. You too.
And let's take this call again quickly. Hello, you're on WBSM.
Quick question, Tim. Where do you go on the Fun 107 website to see where Fun 107 will they be live in the area? Because I couldn't find that.
Will they be live in the area?
Yeah.
Like when they're out, like doing the show remotely?
Yeah, like they're at events like in Dartmouth. Like I couldn't find on the website where to look for that.
Well, we don't put it. There's nothing that we really put on the website. They just announce it on the air.
And also, I was on WBSM about the Stop and Shop bags free in Rhode Island. You happen to know when they're going to be free in Massachusetts?
So when I talked to Stop and Shop about it, they said...
That's why I called them to ask you about that.
They said that they would let us know that they would send something to us when they had an idea. But right now, the problem is that there are certain communities where they're required to charge. So they're trying to figure out what to do about that. And then once they figure that out, then they're going to... Because their plan is to get rid of them in Massachusetts. So it's just a matter of when they can get around those holdups. Yeah, I think that the answer there is they're just going to have to pay for it themselves.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yep.
And let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
Morning.
I want to ask you, last year when I went to the library for your presentation in this month, you signed a book I had, Spooky South Coast, but you said you wrote other books?
Yes.
What other books have you written?
I have just another book, Haunted Objects, Stories of Ghosts on Your Shelf. I wrote that with my friend Chris Balzano. So that is no longer in stores. The publisher folded a few years ago. And so Chris and I got the rights back to that book, and we put it out self-published on Amazon. But I'll have copies of that with me for sale.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask because I wanted to buy one. I'm going tomorrow night, actually. I work that day, but I plan on being there. You said 7 o'clock at night, right, at the New Bedford Public Library?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me double-check the time. Yeah, 7 p.m.
Okay, because I was there last year as well. So how much is the book? Because I do want to buy one of those books. And then, of course, you can sign it for me.
$20.
Okay, that's perfect. That's what I wanted to know, because I remember you've mentioned in the past that you did have other books, and I was interested. And I am really interested in the haunted objects as well. So that's really, I'm going to love that book too, because I loved your the other book I read. It was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a so what we did is when we got the rights back, we kind of gave it an updated version. So we added a few things into it and kind of updated it a bit. And it's got a different design. So you can still find the old original version on Amazon sometimes, like secondhand sellers sell it. But you know, this is the newer version that I have.
Oh, that's great. I'm really happy. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That is excellent. Thank you so much for all the information. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Have a great day now.
You too. And anybody that's looking for haunted objects or ghosts of the South Coast, I'll have them with me. I've only got a limited amount of copies left, but as long as the library is okay with me selling them, some libraries prefer that you don't. I didn't ask yet, so I'll find out. But if not, if they have a problem with it, we'll go do it out on the street like a drug deal. Like, hey, man, you got the money? I got the books. And by the way, that can be cash or card. I know I'm really not supposed to, like, promote that part of it. But, yeah. Anyway, let me take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. That is 27 Club member Kurt Cobain, along with his band Nirvana. It's time to give a call to our $30,000 winner, Emily Barnish, and surprise her with the news.
Hey, it's Emily.
Hey, Emily. It's Tim Weisberg from WBSM, and I wanted to give you a call this morning because I hear you're a big user of the WBSM app.
I was using it for doing the 30,000 thing. Take my kid to school.
Oh, how old are your kids?
I have a 7-year-old and then I also have a 4-year-old.
So what would you do with $30,000 if you were our Money Talks winner?
I would probably, I don't know, probably pay off debt that I had.
Well, sure, that's the responsible adult thing to do with the money, but sure, I'm sure there's something fun you'd want to do with $30,000 as well.
We want to go to the new park that they're building at Universal.
Oh, right. Yeah. Epic Universe. Isn't that opening soon?
It's going to open next year.
What kind of stuff do they have there?
It's got like Mario. It's got like, they're going to have Harry Potter in there, and they're going to have, it's like a dark thing. They'll have like How to Train Your Dragon.
Well, you might want to start booking that trip to Universal because you are the winner of $30,000.
Did I? What? Oh, I was wondering why I got a phone call and then I didn't answer.
Well, I'm glad you picked up the phone the second time.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say. Oh, thank you.
Congratulations, Emily, and enjoy your 30 grand, whatever you decide to do with it.
I want to thank you guys so much. I honestly don't even have words at all. It's like, not, I would have never thought that something like this would ever happen to me. Thank you.
Congratulations again to Emily Barnish, and thank you to our Money Talk sponsor, Marisol's Cafe in Dartmouth, and now in Fairhaven. And thanks to everybody who played, and we will definitely be doing that contest again in the future since we got so many people taking part in it, so many people who wanted to win. But of course, we can only have one winner, and congratulations to Emily. Speaking of winners, when are the Patriots going to win another game, right? The 1-5 New England Patriots are heading across the pond in search of a win. This week, the Patriots head to London to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. Patriots-Jaguars kickoff is at 9:30 a.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 6:30. That's 6:30 in the morning. And of course, if you want to hear our regular Sunday morning programming, you can hear that at WBSM.com. And on the WBSM app, but on the radio, on 1420 AM and 99.5, you will hear Patriots and Jaguars pregame beginning at 6:30. The New England Patriots are here all season long on WBSM. And maybe the Patriots can actually get that second win. Although I saw the, because I still get all the emails from the Patriots media relations from when I covered the team. And the schedule has them, I believe they're leaving Friday afternoon, Friday evening. So they're not going to have much time to prepare in London. So, I mean, I hope that's the smart move to not, maybe it was Thursday, I forget. But still, you want to have a few days to adjust yourself to the time difference and after, you know, the jet lag you might get from the flight. Some teams will leave and be there the week of. I'm surprised they didn't leave on Monday and spend the whole week there. But we'll see what happens. Maybe they're also like, hey, we don't care if we win any games this year. It's just about getting better each game. And there was definitely some positive signs from Drake May in last week's loss. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There was a story that I brought up this morning, which Channel 5 had the reporting on. In Hingham, a student at Hingham High School was accused of cheating when he used AI to help complete a paper. And now his family is suing the school after he was accused of cheating. And WCVB is reporting that this change could now spark changes at school, that this case could spark change at schools across the state. They said he has been unfairly punished after he used AI on a history paper. His mother said, they told us our son cheated on a paper, which is not what happened. They said that the handbook for the high school never mentions the use of AI until this incident with their son, and that they only added language regarding AI to the handbook this year. They basically punished him for a rule that doesn't exist, his mother said. The mother is a writer, the husband is a school teacher, and they're well aware of the debate over AI. They said that he only used it as a research tool and did not use it to write the paper. However, the school saw it differently, punishing him with detention, and his grades suffered as a result. That meant he was not allowed into the National Honor Society, and now he is not at risk of getting into his top choice schools. He got a perfect score in the ACTs, and he was looking to go to Stanford or MIT or some of the other top schools. He's missed the opportunity already for rolling admissions. That's according to his mother. And the lawyer said their case shows there should be policies around using AI in schools. He says there's a wide gulf of information out there that says AI isn't plagiarism. So now they want the school to update and change its AI policy so that they are more clear. And they said that they can't undo the punishments. They already made him redo the paper. They can't undo the Saturday detention, but there are some things they can fix and do the right thing. So a very interesting case as AI is becoming more prominent. Again, he didn't use it to write the paper. He used it to help with the research. And as we were talking about in the 6 o'clock hour, that can be done the same way people will research things by looking it up on Wikipedia. But just like with Wikipedia, you know, you can't trust the information at face value because anybody can go in and edit a Wikipedia page. That's why the superscript footnotes are so important. You click on those, it brings you down to where the articles are that they were citing, and then you can go and read the original article and use it as an aggregator of the research as opposed to just the answers to the questions themselves. And you can do the same thing with AI. AI is going to tell you some information, whether you use Gemini, ChatGPT, whatever it is. It's going to tell you some information, but then you've got to verify that information. So you want to say, like, how many pilgrims were on the Mayflower? And then it gives you the answer. Then you say, okay, where did you find this information? And AI will tell you, this is where I got this information from. Or it will tell you, I'm not sure where those sources are from, or I can't find any sources that verify that. Well, then that means it's probably just made up because AI doesn't like to say, I can't answer that question. So it kind of will make up an answer in a void of information. So you need to verify what it is that it's telling you. We were just messing around with AI here one day and we were like, tell us some interesting stories about Westport, Massachusetts. And it told us about a time that some people played a prank involving a lighthouse in Watapa Pond and they made it like disappear. I forget like what all the details were. And we're like, how have we never heard of this before? And then we're like, where did you get this from? And AI was like, we made this story up. Like, it literally admitted to making up the story. So there was no lighthouse prank that happened. It just made this up completely because it wanted to give us an answer to our question. And only when we called it out on that did it admit the truth. So in that regard, AI is very much like a high school student, where it's only going to tell you the truth when it gets caught. As I'm looking at our intern right now, he's like, we don't all do that. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And that is 27 Club member Amy Winehouse, probably the last like major member or the most recognizable member. So talking about the AI story, Ray says, this story is exactly what is wrong with our school system. If that happened when you and I were kids, our parents would punish us for cheating, not to try and find a loophole to justify the kids' actions. This is why kids get away with so much more in schools, because schools and the administration, along with the teachers, are afraid of parents. And, well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, because I don't think that what the kid did was wrong. But again, that's based on the information that we have. I don't know what he did to get that research from AI and how the teacher knew that he got it from AI. If it was a matter of he got wrong information, and then they said, well, where'd you get that information? And he says, well, I put it into ChatGPT, and that's what they told me. Like, that's dumb on the kid's part for not verifying what ChatGPT was telling him. But I don't think that's cheating. That's no more cheating than typing into a search engine asking the question. Now, if he took the answer that AI gave him and copied that and put that into his report, then yeah, that would be plagiarism and that would be wrong. But they're saying that he just used it as a research tool, not for the writing. So if that was just where he got his information from, then it's not utilizing AI any differently than you would have utilized Google or than you would have utilized Wikipedia. So I understand why the parents are saying that they didn't have a policy for this, first of all, and that's really what their gripe is that you're trying to punish them based on a policy that didn't exist at the time. But also, if that's going to be a tool that makes for more effective research in the future, we've got to start utilizing it now and learning the safeguards that need to be put in place. As I mentioned, I've used it to find information, but I don't trust the information that it gives you. I try to go and verify it one step beyond, but it's helpful in finding you that information. So I wrote an article a little while ago that I discovered through AI. I typed into one of the AI search engines, like, tell me some songs about Fall River. And it gave me a list of songs that supposedly mentioned Fall River, and many of them did not. But many of them were also, they might have the word fall and river in them. So then I was like, all right, find me songs that mention the exact phrase, quote, Fall River. And it came back with the old Fall River Line song. And then I looked into that song more and found out that it was a very popular song and found out what the old Fall River Line was. And I did all that research, but it was based on that prompt to ChatGPT or Gemini, excuse me, whichever one I used. So it wasn't that AI wrote the story for me. I went and found all the information, but I utilized that as a research tool. And I don't think that what I did was wrong. So if that's the way that this kid used it, then what he did was right. It's designed to help save time, to take away menial tasks that consume time, like going through all the research. And if you used Wikipedia on a report to, like, let's just say you had to write a science report on noble gases, and you went to the Wikipedia page for noble gases, and you used those footnotes below to find, you know, scientific articles about noble gases, and you went and cited those articles correctly and using proper parenthetical documentation, whatever you're going to use, and you did that all correctly, but you used Wikipedia to find those articles, is that wrong? I don't think so. And that's basically what AI is doing, except it's saving you the step of having to go to the Wikipedia page. It's just telling you the information, and then you can say, well, where did you find that? And it'll send you the links to where it found it. But I think people are so afraid of AI that they're just like, anytime it's involved, no, I don't want anything to do with it. And certainly there are people who use it deceptively. But in this case, it's being used as a tool like it was intended. It's not being used, at least in terms of what the kid is telling us. Now, the teachers might have a different perspective on it. And the school stance might be, well, we think that it was plagiarized. But they're not saying that to WCVB. So we're going to have to learn to utilize these things in a responsible manner. And if somebody is using it responsibly, you can't just be dismissive of it. Do you know what this is? This is the equivalent of the first time a kid used a calculator on a math test. And the teacher was like, well, you can't use a calculator. And the kid said, well, there's no rule against using a calculator. And so then they put a rule in place about using calculators. And now what happens? Now you can take a calculator into the SATs with you. So we learn to adapt to the technology that's available to us. And it's funny because I remember my math teachers in high school telling me, because we were kind of the first generation that was allowed to use calculators on things like the SATs. And they said, well, you know, it's not really good to use a calculator because it's not like when you're an adult, you're going to always have a calculator in your pocket to figure out math problems. Surprise, we do. We have a calculator in our pocket all the time to help us figure out math problems. And I still use it all the time. So, can I do math? Yeah. Do I trust my math? Not really. Is it faster to do with a calculator? Yes. And can I go and research things on my own? Of course. Do I trust myself to find everything that I need to find in order to do it? Nah, I'll miss some stuff. So, can I use AI to look it up for me? Absolutely. All right, I got to take my final break of the morning here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Get a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
I remember when Gorillaz came out and there were people that were up in arms because it's not a real band. They're cartoons. Well, no, it's a real band. It's real musicians in the band. They just put cartoons in the music videos and then put like cutouts of them on stage, or actually projections of them on stage. Because they chose to, that's how they wanted to present the visuals for it. And it's like, okay, so did you not listen to the Archies when you were a kid? They were in a real band. They were real musicians, but the Archies weren't real. Don't start with that. The Monkees weren't real. The Monkees were a real band. They played their own instruments on more albums than they didn't. So, and they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Jan Wenner. Get over yourself. Although he's out now, so maybe the Monkees can eventually get in. It'd be nice if they could do it while Mickey's still with us, at least, since the rest of the band is gone. Anyway, yeah, that's Gorillaz. They're a cartoon. 508-996, actually, I'm out of time. But you can talk to Chris McCarthy coming up in the next hour. He has South Coast Now coming your way.